Ramsey TV.
What have I been talking about this week so far? The timing of the coming of the kingdom. We're all interested in God's timing. And for Israel, it's been a harrowing experience. The main theme so far this week has been the fact that the kingdom had drawn near to them and it didn't come. And people like myself and like you, we are mocked to say that there has come a pause in God's operation. We're mocked for saying that God would announce something as near, as close, as at the door, and then take it away. We're mocked for that. It's called the gap theory. Oh, these people think that Paul has a special administration and that Israel has been temporarily put aside, set aside, so that Paul can now announce a new gospel to the nations, and that the 77s, the 490 years prophesied by Daniel in chapter 9, these crazy gap theory people, they think that there's yet a final 7 years remaining, that God would stop after 483 years. Well, how do you get 483 years anyway, people? It's been surely more than 483 years since the time of the edict that went out from Cyrus to return to Jerusalem till the crucifixion of Messiah. Yeah, God does not mark time when Israel's in apostasy. Very critical to know this. Timing is very important in the times of Israel and in the 6,000 years that has transpired, the nearly 6,000 years since the time of Adam. God does not mark time. He doesn't count time when Israel is in apostasy. I went through this in detail in the Revelation series. It's especially appropriate when you look at the judges in Israel. Every time Israel had a bad judge, or any time they were taken into some kind of captivity, like the clock stopped. And again, it's a very technical subject, the times of Israel. But God is consistent. And I'll say it again, he does not count time while Israel is in apostasy. And this can be clearly seen from the time of the judges. And again, just look, watch all the 800 shows from the Zender Revelation series, and you'll find those shows. But no, really, if you go to Zender on Revelation, scroll down at my homepage, martinzender.com, and then you go to Complete Archives, just scroll through the titles, and somewhere along there, you'll see something about God not marking time. And so we have been in a 2,000-year period of time when Israel has been in apostasy. And there does remain a 7-year period that is yet unfulfilled. And this, of course, corresponds perfectly with the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, which is exactly 7 years. This is the time of trouble Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. Just talked about that. Then will occur a time of trouble that has never come upon the earth and never will again. Time of trouble. This will be the crucible, the furnace that Israel will walk through, the birth pangs to bring her into the kingdom. It will be accompanied with many signs. And when that time is over, their Messiah will come a second time, this time with much glory, many, many signs and wonders in the heavens, and no one will be able to mistake it like they all did the first time he came. Can't really blame him. There, it was a little, that first coming was a little obtuse. It was a little hidden. Nobody expected him, the Messiah, to be born in a manger in Bethlehem, obviously. So yeah, we got to give him a break there. But his second coming will be attended with great signs and marvels. The gap theory. They also make fun of us for saying that there's a gap in Genesis. Genesis 1:1, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. And we say that there's a gap between the creation of the heavens and the earth and the time when the heavens and earth became a chaos and vacant, which would account for an old earth. And then, of course, the Spirit of God vibrates on the waters, and we have a young humanity. Humanity is young, 6,000 years old. The earth could be old because there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 between and 1:2. One verse. Created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth, and the earth became. It sounds like it immediately became, but that doesn't necessarily follow. It just says, and the earth became a chaos and vacant. Martin Zender left Fort Lauderdale, and he went to Ohio. Well, I left Fort Lauderdale on May 1st, but I didn't get to Ohio until September 1st because I visited a bunch of people in between. But it's still true that Martin Zender left Florida and he arrived in Ohio. It just took me months and months and months, but you don't know that. You can't assume it from the way I said it. But it's true, as I said it, I left Fort Lauderdale and I came to Ohio. Lots of stuff happened in between. Likewise, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth, yet the earth became a chaos and a vacant. You don't know about the time in between. Likewise, with this announcement of the kingdom. The kingdom is pronounced, the kingdom is fulfilled. Just not right after it's pronounced and announced. There's a gap. And I'm going to show you now the most amazing gap. And I'm telling you, if you ask me, this passage that I'm going to read to you out of Luke illustrates everything. It's all right here. And if you can see it here, and I know many of you already do, if you can see it here, then you can say, okay, wow, yeah, there is a gap. Here's what I mean. In Luke chapter 4, our Lord is in Nazareth, and he's going to read on the Sabbath from the book of Isaiah. Verse 16, Luke 4, and he came to Nazareth, where he was reared, and according to his custom, on the day of the Sabbaths, he entered into the synagogue and rose to read. And handed to him was a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And opening the scroll, he found the place where it was written. And he's quoting, I'm going to go to this passage in Isaiah. He's quoting from Isaiah, what we know now as Isaiah chapter 61. And here's what he says. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, on account of which he anoints me to bring the evangel to the poor. He has commissioned me to heal the crushed heart, to herald to captives a pardon, and to the blind the receiving of sight, to dispatch the oppressed with a pardon, to herald an acceptable year of the Lord. And he stops right there. He may have said it, and to herald an acceptable year of the Lord. But I think that with a little wink to us, he says, and to herald an acceptable year of the Lord, he stops right there. Verse 20, and furling the scroll, rolls it up, giving it back to the deputy, he is seated. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were looking intently at him. Now he begins to be saying to them that today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And of course they were offended at that, because what he was saying was that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying concerning him. In so many words, he said, when he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, he's basically saying Isaiah was speaking of me. And they knew that this Isaiah prophecy concerned the Messiah. And now Jesus is basically saying, Isaiah was writing about me. And here I am today. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they marveled at that. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So this is where the famous saying comes from. A prophet is acceptable everywhere except in his own country. And of course, they tried to kill him at this time. They weren't impressed with his declaration, I guess. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is where the Lord stopped, where he stopped reading. He stopped reading in the middle of a sentence. Because I'm now going to go to Isaiah, and I'm going to read to you exactly what our Lord was reading. Isn't that cool? We can go to the same prophecy that the Lord read that day in Nazareth at the synagogue. But where he stopped and where he refused to read on is very instructive. Now let's go to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of my Lord Yahweh is on me. There we go. This is, he's quoting exactly from Isaiah. This is chapter 61 of Isaiah, verse 1. The Spirit of my Lord Yahweh is on me because Yahweh anoints me. See, this is capital M here, capital M. I know there's no case, uppercase, lowercase in the original text, but everyone knew, all the Jews knew that this was a messianic prophecy. The Spirit of my Lord Yahweh is on me because Yahweh anoints me to bear tidings to the humbled. He sends me to bind up the broken heart, to herald to captives liberty, and to the sightless, unclosed eyes, and to the bound, emancipation. Let's go back to Luke. This is exactly what he's saying here. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, on account of which he anoints me to bring the evangel to the poor. Same thing in Isaiah. Commission me to heal the crushed heart. Well, I don't have to prove this to you. It says here that he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And obviously, this is the spot. Let me remind you of where the Lord stopped. He says, I came to dispatch the oppressed with a pardon, to herald an acceptable year of the Lord. Roll, roll, roll the scroll. Gently with the hand. Give it to the deputy, then sit down and watch them try to kill you. Now let's go back to Isaiah. To herald the captives liberty. Still verse 1. To the sightless, unclosed eyes, and to the bound, emancipation, to herald an acceptable year for Yahweh. Comma, in Isaiah, there's a comma. This is where our Lord rolled up the scroll. To herald an acceptable year for Yahweh, but in the prophecy, there's a comma here. And the following sentence is, and a day of vengeance for our Elohim. I come to proclaim a day of vengeance. This is the very next statement. There's not even a period here. In the original text, there's no punctuation at all. In the concordant version of the Old Testament, which I'm reading from, there's a comma. To herald an acceptable year for Yahweh and the day of vengeance for our Elohim. He's in Nazareth, and he says, to herald an acceptable year for Yahweh, done. I'm done. What doesn't he say? He doesn't say, and a day of vengeance for our Elohim. That's because he was not at that time heralding a day of vengeance. See, the day of vengeance was necessary. They knew that. Israel knew that there would be a time of trial, a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, that would be the crucible, that would be the birth pangs that would bring them into the kingdom. They knew about it because it's here in Isaiah, in a day of vengeance, and they wanted that. Of course, in their mind, the vengeance was on the inhabitants of the earth, vengeance on Rome, vengeance on all of Israel's enemies. And that's true. That's what will happen in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It will be vengeance upon the earth. That generation that goes through the tribulation is going to suffer for the sins of everybody that ever persecuted a saint, including you. And they knew that that judgment of God finally showing himself, finally refusing anymore to hide behind that invisibility and coming directly to all eyes, directly inflict these trials, these bowls of wrath upon the earth. They looked forward to that in a way because that would be the beginning of their liberation. But if anyone had been paying attention that day, they would have thought something is up. But see, they were too taken up with the fact that he's saying that today this, he didn't give them time to think. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Like, what? But if he hadn't said that and put them all into a state of shock, somebody would have gone, holy, wait a minute. Why didn't he finish the freaking sentence in a day of vengeance? And why did he stop at that comma? Because he knew that the day of vengeance was far off. He knew the secret administration of Paul, that there would be an interruption in the program, that there would be some letters forced into the reverse bookcase, like I gave you on Monday, the reverse bookcase, where the smooth revelation to Israel, where Acts is up against Hebrews, and it finishes with the book of Revelation, finishes with the day of vengeance for our Elohim. Paul's letters now picture the reverse of that graphic. I'll show you that graphic again. This time, instead of the books going up, they're being forced into. It's like they're elbowing their way. Move aside. Move aside. Acts, get away from Hebrews. What? Well, this is a smooth revelation to Israel. And our Lord, if it weren't for those 13 letters being forced, elbowing, jockeying into position to separate Acts from Hebrews, then Acts would have been joined to Hebrews, and then Revelation would have shortly ensued, and one smooth revelation to Israel, he finishes the sentence, to herald an acceptable year for Yahweh and a day of vengeance for our Elohim. And the next sentence is, by the way, to comfort all mourners, to establish rejoicing for Zion's mourners, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of elation instead of mourning, the muffler of praise instead of a spirit of languor. And they will be called arbiters of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh to show his beauty. And they will rebuild the places deserted for the eon, the desolations of former times they will raise up, and they will renew the wasted cities, the desolations of generation after generation. Aliens will stand. It's just, the whole thing, if he would have kept reading, was the marvels of the kingdom immediately following the day of vengeance. Yeah, Israel's going to be stung by the day of vengeance also, but it was mainly for the inhabitants of the earth to clear the table, to get rid of man's politics and religions and make way for God's politics and religion. But he stops. And if anyone had been astute at that time, maybe there were some, we have no record of it, they would have thought, oh my gosh, some screwy. Maybe this thing's not going to come right away. Because that would have been also the Daniel prophecy from Daniel chapter 9, the 490 years segregated for Israel. That last 7 years wouldn't still be hanging. But even as I speak to you today, that last 7 years is still hanging. And the second part of the sentence in Isaiah 61, verse 2, is still hanging. And people mock us for that. That gap theory. What's the matter with you people? Hey, we're not the ones who rolled up this scroll in the middle of a freaking sentence. That comma in Isaiah 61, 2 has now represented 2,000 years. How about that? A 2,000 year comma. It wasn't time to do that. Yes, it was time to bear tidings to the humbled. Yes, it was time to bind up the broken of heart. Yes, it was time to herald to captives liberty and to unclose the sightless eyes and to bring emancipation to those bound, to herald an acceptable year for Yahweh. It's acceptable. It's an acceptable time. This kind of lines up with Matthew 24, this generation may not be passing by till all these things should be occurring. It's an acceptable time. These things should be occurring. Should be occurring. Acceptable time. But something's going to intervene. And if those Israelites weren't so jacked up with him saying, today these words are fulfilled in your hearing, then that somebody would have gone, somebody should have gone, oh my, did you hear that? Did you see where he stopped? Let's read the rest of Isaiah. That's when the time of trouble comes, followed by the rejoicing for the mourners, beauty instead of ashes, oil of elation instead of mourning. Damn, I wish he would have read that. Why didn't he read that? Yeah, I know what you mean. Why didn't he read that? I don't know. Stopped right in the middle. That was weird. Yeah, it was weird. And the way he said it, the way he said it, to herald an acceptable year for Yahweh, then he rolled up the scroll. What's up? Here's what's up. The pause, the divine pause. The divine Paul, who elbows his way into the smooth revelation to Israel to screw up a lot of people's understanding of the Bible, except ours, because we're privy to the secret. We're privy to the pause. We can read the seams on the fastball. We can read our Lord's words in Nazareth, and we can understand. And if we don't understand, Paul explains it graphically in Romans 11. That this hardness, this national hardness on Israel has come until what? Until the fullness of the nations may be entering. What is this fullness of the nations? It's the secret administration. It's the secret gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God that is still, as I speak, ongoing. But ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of that little comma and to the beginning of a day of vengeance for our Elohim.